DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, we should mention this real quick. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but there may be some of you who were listening later yesterday and contributed to our charitable effort with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. You deserve to hear what the results were of it. We were raising money to be able to buy books for underprivileged kids who don't have any books in their home. 61% of kids in Houston don't have a single book in the home. We raised $46,000 yesterday, thanks to all of you that contributed or got word out about it. $46,000 means over 1,500 home libraries for kids that are going to be bought and selected by them. So they get to pick their books, and they're going to do that later on this year. So big thank you to everybody who contributed to that. If you want to, if you didn't get a chance to yesterday, you want to just double check and see. I don't know if the text is still up, but you can text yesterday at least new books, all one word, to 41444 to contribute. So if you're moved to contribute and you didn't get to yesterday, give it a try today. Otherwise, you can go to the website for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, and I am certain there's a button that says donate now on that website for sure.
Yes, and that's spelled new, N-E-W.
Correct.
For those of you who want to contribute to literacy but maybe struggle yourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not N-U books.
No.
It's new books,
no.
N-E-W.
N-E-W, we spell correctly in this endeavor. Here was Nick Caserio on Texans All Access. What's the one thing the Texans need to do better if they're going to beat Tampa Bay?
We just have to play Houston Texan football and just play disciplined football and focus on the little things. I mean, when you go back and look at some of the plays, I mean, if I was covering you man-to-man coverage and that was my assignment, my eyes are somewhere else,
right,
that leads to a big play. I mean, that's fixable. That's correctable. So the key is, as a player, don't try to do too much. Just do the things that you're coached to do. I think sometimes, especially on week one, you're so amped up, you're trying to do more than you really need to do. Just go out there and focus on your assignment, each play, and then at the end of the game, hopefully look up the scoreboard, and, you know, we've had more good plays than they have.
We brought up the Petrie play on 3rd and 8. Yeah. Nick may have also been referring to the Lassiter,
yeah,
the Davis Allen touchdown there.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the cool thing about that is that I think the game plan in that game was, hey, Stafford hasn't practiced much. He's got back concerns. They're probably going to try to run the football. Let's stuff the run and force him into the pass, and then there we've got him, right where we want him. The first part of the plan went incredibly well.
The problem is
it went too well. They shut down the rushing attack very, very effectively, but they lost sight of just, yeah, playing intelligent football. And Stafford was really good on play action in that game. Very, very good on play action in that game. And it was obvious, you know, that the Texans suffered from it. I think some of that is at least partly also, like Nick was saying, it's week one, guys are amped up, you're trying to do everything. But then, you know, again, I'm not going to be a grumpy old man about it, but guys just don't play that much real football during the preseason. And when you start talking about play action, that especially, and I don't care how many joint practices you do, you can't even tell whether you're stopping the run in a joint practice because nobody's allowed to tackle. Like, your urgency, if you're a defensive back especially, and you're not playing tackle football, you're just in a joint practice and going up against your own team, what are you more concerned about? Like, I don't want to get torched in a pass. I got to be sure I look good in coverage. You get into an actual game, and you know you got to tackle people to the ground, and then all of a sudden the intensity's ratcheted up that much more. I'm not excusing it. I'm explaining it. The Texans didn't do a good job of making that adjustment.
Yeah.
They were just a little too dialed in to stopping the run. And then situationally, especially, they got to understand when it's 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
Like, back off a little, bro.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like that. That's not the end of the world if they rush for 5 yards on 3rd and 8.
This is 2 years in a row where the opener that the issue defensively was leaky pass cover. I mean, last year the opener was Anthony Richardson hitting literally 4 50-yard bombs in the game against the Texans defensively. I mean, so maybe it has something to do with the it being the open, it's been 2 weeks since we played football and we're ready to go. You know, we're on
Jimmy
the road.
Ward also, I think part of that though too was, man, you saw that Jimmy Ward had lost a step. I think that was He was just, he had a hard time keeping up with Alec Pierce on at least one of them. One was just a blown coverage. And I can't remember, was it Stingley or Lasseter that blew the coverage to the one that Anthony Richardson airmailed?
Stingley. It was Stingley. Yeah, it was Stingley.
But again, week one, I wonder if when you've got a bunch of guys who are kind of wired for violence and it's week one and they finally get to hit people, that you get a little bit of sloppiness there. Not an excuse, but hopefully an explanation.
I like the swarm mentality. I think there is broken glass that comes with the swarm mentality. I think... Some of the penalties that are aggression penalties that D'Amico has by and large excused, that comes with it. You're going to have 15-yard penalties because of the aggression that these guys play with.
That's like if you have a vicious law firm on retainer, you got to be judicious in when you use it, because sometimes you don't want to use it right off the bat or too aggressively, because you can fracture a relationship.
Yeah.
And the Texans fractured their relationship with their good pass defense.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You might get the wrong judge, man. You might get the wrong judge with that aggressive lawyer. All right, Mike McDaniel. Played some Mike McDaniel audio yesterday. Seth and I have a head coach death pool that most of you know about. We each picked four head coaches, and the goal is to pick the one that gets fired first. Seth won last year with Robert Saleh. I have Mike McDaniel, who prior to this press conference, of which we're about to hear a cut from in a moment, he was 1-4. I would to be the first head coach fired. I would listen to this cut and move it to like 1-10. After that, like, Mike McDaniel is a mess right now. This is Mike McDaniel being asked about Tua Tagovailoa.
I think I saw quarterback play that was less than to be desired, which Tua absolutely knows. But that was he's the captain of the franchise quarterback, and everybody kind of fell victim to something similar. I also know that very, very much like a lot, most quarterbacks, to be honest, where you're putting a lot of work into something and your first time doing it for a collective four quarters in months, you're not at your best. My biggest thing is I don't want to make the same mistakes twice. I don't want to have things happen for no reason or in vain. You make them purposeful by improving upon the things that you failed at, and then making sure that your teammates do the same. So he's comfortable with that in terms of it. You know, we need to be better collectively. He and everybody else needs to be better for us to get done what we want to get done.
I need to I need to bend it back. I need to go look at the transcript of the Dolphins press conferences and see if they actually transcribe all the
The transcript initially was he's very, very much like most quarterbacks, to be honest. That was the person that tweeted it out, how they had transcribed
it. Dude, he's a mess right now.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
He sounds a lot like, if anybody just search on YouTube, David Foster Wallace, who is a very, very intelligent, interesting writer. But he was thinking, abstract thoughts as he's talking. So he kind of talked, almost sounded like he might have been smoking or something, but he was saying deeper stuff. I don't think David Foster Wallace would have been a good head football coach. I think he was really good at what he did as a writer, but it's different when you're a head football coach, I think. I feel like this is the problem, is I recognize this trait. Mike McDaniel played at Yale, and I think he's perpetually, to me, sounds like the athlete who's in a comparative literature class and trying to keep up. That just like, oh boy, I gotta try to sound like I'm saying something deep here. We're too far upon, yes, that analogy that I thought, yes, sure, the Great Depression,
yeah,
and so forth. So Gatsby, yes.
It sounds very specific.
It sounds like me in my comparative literature class.
I'm feeling something here. That's funny.
I was wondering if that was just Ivy League shade.
No, that was just me. Yeah, like any of me or any of my classmates at a
You're sympathizing with Mike McDaniel right
in.
Now.
Yeah.
Class full of valedictorians. Absolutely.
Well, really, we have to look back to the old rule. You know what? Advice for the kids. This is what I when I got to school, I didn't have the background that some of these kids did, because I did several English classes, like comparative literature and stuff. And I realized early on, I'm like, oh, these highfalutin bastards are just, they're doing the same thing we do, which is they're quoting Fletch or they're quoting Animal House. They're just doing it with books.
Yeah.
Like, once that hit, right, I was like, oh, that's all they're doing.
I can do
they're
this.
They're just doing the exact same thing.
Oh,
as long as you read the book, you're just, they're pulling some Chaucer quote or something out of their butts the same way I can recite the entire script of Animal House.
Yeah, okay. So Seth is like, heretofore, ipso facto, Mr. Blutarski, 0.0. Yes.
Like the dude at the bar in Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. He did not do any favors for Ivy Leaguers.
Speaking of Ivy Leaguers,
you'll be serving me and my kids fries on a ski trip, is what he told Matt Damon. I'm going to have to go watch Good Will Hunting.
Not to hijack.
Yeah.
But Seth was talking about Ivy League. Did you see what Ryan Fitzpatrick said?
I did.
That is awesome.
What did he say?
He said he took kind of a mental, arithmetic toll, accounting is what the word I was looking for, of his 8 roommates at Harvard, and he ranks 6th in terms of career
income.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
First roommate.
The guy who invented Airbnb was one of his 8 roommates.
His first roommate.
Yeah, and he didn't even realize. It sounded like on this podcast he hadn't kept up with the guy. Yeah. And he's like, I went and checked, and it turns out the guy invented Airbnb.
$8 billion
net worth. $8 billion. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll find that audio.
I need Seth to do the same thing.
Oh,
yeah, Cornell's not quite in that same category. There's a lot of Harvard people. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, that was funny.
I'm 8th. I'm 6th.
Yeah, 6th out of 8 people, and Fitzy's like one of the top 35 quarterbacks.
Years or whatever it was.
Like you would be, you guys wouldn't probably, but like the audience might be shocked at how high Ryan Fitzpatrick is up the career earnings board in the NFL. Like, it's wild how high he is on it.
Well, not high enough.
Yeah. No,
I've got one friend that, it's funny because, you don't really ask people about like their finances or anything, but I had one friend that all of a sudden was like, had a scholarship named after him and everything. And I'm like, okay. I know a lot of these guys, like, I don't know what the hell they do on Wall Street, but there's this one that all of a sudden, like, I was not invited to that event. What's that all about? Like, I see what's going on here.
I know. I get the Notre Dame magazine.
I look forward to seeing you being sanctioned by the SEC.
Yeah, exactly. Notre Dame magazine, or as I like to call it, my monthly reminder of how much less money I've made than everybody I went to school with.
See, that's why y'all should have gone to a state school that was not the flagship.
Yeah, see?
See, that doesn't happen to me.
Got a chance to rank at the tippity top. Yes.
Even then, I still don't think I'm through there.
Hey, by the way, Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. All right, fellas, question of the day.
You saw Adam Silver, didn't you?
Yeah, we played the audio a little bit
Foot
earlier.
Foot in mouth?
Yeah, the audio where he talks about, hey, guys, we put a lot of highlights out on social media.
And they're free.
Why so upset about all this streaming money?
He said it's a highlights-based sport.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the TV and streaming partners are thrilled with
that's a good point. They've got to be really excited about spending billions of dollars on a league where the commissioner just says, just watch the highlights on Twitter.
You'll get the gist of it.
Right. It's the cliff notes. Yeah.
So what is a highlight you could watch a million times?
Okay. Mine is one that I think you were in the building for Catholics versus Convicts, right?
Yes.
Pat Terrell knocking away the 2-point conversion to win 31-30 in that.
I
watched that all the time.
One of the first major games I covered.
I think it was 87? 88.
88.
October 15th, 1988.
Oh, I remember that.
The same day that Kirk Gibson hit the home run.
That's exactly right. That's why I remember that.
You were probably at Coaches or some bar in South Bend watching that game.
That's exactly
right. I wish I'd invited you to the campus party, the off-campus party.
I would have been there. No, I remember
that. You would have watched my friend John Perugina get hit over the head with a hockey stick.
Ooh.
Who doesn't want to see that?
Yeah.
I remember because of Kirk Gibson and... it was really the first big, big national game I covered.
Huge, yeah.
And my wife was pregnant with our firstborn.
There you go. Yeah. All right. What about you, Seth?
I'm trying to think of a sports one, but the thing that keeps coming back to my mind, because I'm laughing at it to myself right now, I laugh every single time I watch Dumb and Dumber, and it's a scene where they're...
You can go that way.
Where they've lost everything. They're standing next to the pond, and... Harry doesn't have any gloves on, and he says, "My hands are freezing." And Lloyd says, "Oh, here, you can borrow one of mine. I've got two." And Harry loses it and starts strangling Lloyd, and Lloyd says, "Harry, your hands are freezing." It's the most brilliant.
Hey, I just added maybe
history.
Even movie highlights to the
movie
question.
Movie highlights. There are scenes from The Sopranos that I will watch on almost the scene from the best episode ever, the Pine Barrens episode, where Chrissy and Polly get trapped in the woods in the snow.
Gorgeous.
The phone reception is terrible.
It's so good.
They're trying to talk to Tony. And the guy they're chasing in the woods is some Russian Green Beret. Yeah. And Tony's like, "This guy killed 16 Chechen rebels. He was part of the Interior Ministry." And they hang up the phone, and Pauly was on the phone with Tony. And he looks at Chrissy and goes, "This guy killed 16 Czechoslovakians. He was an interior decorator." And Chrissy goes, "His apartment looked like bleep." So that I can watch. You know what else I watch quite a bit? It's not a highlight, kind of is. Since the Texans have become good again, I go back and watch the night that C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson got drafted. That 10 minutes.
That's a weird one.
That 10 minutes where C.J. gets picked, they interview him, and then the Texans trade up to get Will Anderson. Yeah. I mean, I was in the crowd at Miller Outdoor Theater with my in-laws and with Amy. And they've got the cameras at Miller Outdoor, and just reliving that, because it's been... I know they haven't been to a Super Bowl or an AFC title game yet, but that has been to this point a transformative 10 minutes in where this franchise is, especially compared to where it was the 3 years before that. So I watched that one
a lot.
That's
an interesting highlight, air quotes.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if the semantics of highlight fit that.
No, I think that fits the ethos, though, just something that you could go back to, and it seems like you do.
I do. I go back and watch that quite a bit, man, just to go back and relive that, because I think they hit on both those guys.
Is that when you just like, I need a little dopamine hit. Let me go.
Yeah, sometimes.
Let me pull up YouTube right quick.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes the algorithm feeds it to me, you know?
That's nice.
You haven't watched this in a month. I feel like you need this here.
Altuve with Aroldis Chapman.
Yep.
100%. Kind of smiling afterwards, obviously. Like, and it's more and more fun just because of all of the conspiracy theories and everything afterwards. Like, that I enjoy it. That's kind of like I get a bleep eating grin on my face just thinking about the misery it's caused the baseball world.
I just wish they'd won the World Series that year. It takes like a tenth of the starch out of it, but it is a great moment.
Yordan's 22 home run in Game 6, because it landed one section over from us.
No kidding.
We were in the stadium.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
You're watching that, but you're looking at the crowd like,
both.
That's me.
Both.
It's right there.
Yeah. My wife and I were in that game, like one section over.
And that did win the World Series.
That did win the World Series.
There's certain guys. By the way, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Edition. I want to make sure I get that in before 10:05. And Crosstalk is brought to you by D&M Leasing. Mm. Check all the boxes.
Yeah.
There's certain guys that you can do a whole show of, like, picking a highlight. Like you do, maybe not a whole show, but I feel like you do an hour on Andre Johnson highlights throughout the
year. J.J. Watt, I asked
J.J.
you.
J.J. Watt 2014. Highlights. You could do just a show on J.J. and Andre highlights.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. My favorite Andre is the one where five guys bounced off of him. I think it was only three, but I like to tell my kids it was five.
Is Arizona. It a good story if you don't tweak it up a little bit? You know?
You got to amp
Arizona
it up.
Cardinals.
Yeah. Arizona Cardinals 2009.
I remember very proudly because I came in the next day, we were doing the show.
Yeah.
And I said, when he makes it into the Hall of Fame, that highlight is going to be shown repeatedly.
Yes.
And sure enough.
You nailed it, man. You absolutely nailed it. All right. And I like the safety in the inaugural game against the Cowboys to make it 19-10.
Certainly.
I actually do rewatch that one. I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up Seth's skirt here. I like rewatching that because the crowd was incredible at that game. Yeah. That inaugural game for the Texans, it's like that game was played on a different planet when it comes to the crowd. That was incredible.
100%.
Yeah, incredible crowd that night. All right, Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you and all of your Chechenian pals.
Chechen. 16 Czechoslovakians.
Is it Chechen or Chechenian?
I think it's Chechen is how Tony said it.
Yeah.
And Pauly said Czechoslovakian. I love that show. All right, we're done. We're out of time. I gave you your FCC disclaimer, so let's get right to it. Reggie Adetula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they are in the loop, and they start now.
You damn scapey.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.